Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Studies Through the Bible with Pastor Zach Ebarb. I am Pastor Zach, and today we are continuing our look at the book of Genesis. So we have covered a lot of very difficult topics over the last couple of weeks, right? We have looked at, making difficult decisions and conflict and stumbling blocks in our life, even if that requires us to part ways with family members, things of this nature. Last week we talked about having the faith and the willingness to obey God even when it doesn't make any sense. And today is really no different. And in a lot of ways, I think this is going to be a principle today that challenges God's people, especially in the United States, because of the way that our culture is going when we're looking at our relationship with God. One of the very scary trends that I have been seeing with God's people of late is that we compartmentalize God in our lives. When Sunday and Wednesday, we're God's people and we live for God, but then Monday through Saturday, it neither here nor there. If we have this moment where we decide, well, I don't want to hurt my witness, or we have this moment, this glimpse ever on occasion where we, oh well, I'm a child of God, so I'm not going to act that way. But most of the time, God's people compartmentalize their lives. At church, you're a good Christian person, but then outside of that, you kind of just, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And today, that concept is going to be very challenged in what Abraham does. If you've read ahead, you know we're in Genesis chapter 23. You probably looked over it and was like, "Oh, nothing here." This will be an easy chapter. It's one of the shorter chapters that we've looked at, and on the surface, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of spiritual things that we would garner from it or learn from it. But the thing that we're going to look at today is our dealings with others. Specifically, how we go about day-to-day life, day-to-day business. A very scary example of this, when I'm talking about that, the latest trend that I have seen is God's people compartmentalizing God, is that when it comes to business decisions, tax decisions, what our relationship is to government, things of this nature, God's people completely leave God out of the equation and discuss only what they by law can get away with. And here today, Abraham is going to teach us the true principle, which is that we live according to God's law, not according to man's. So here we go, beginning of Genesis chapter 23. It says, "And Sarah was 107 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead, and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." So, at the beginning of Genesis chapter 23, Sarah, of course, at the age of 127, has died. In the book of Genesis, and really every book in the Bible, to be quite honest with you, are very interesting in how they highlight the lives of the people of the Bible. There are these specific moments, because we don't tend to look at the Bible as just being a book that highlights specific parts of individual lives or brings to attention a lesson from a life, this kind of thing. We kind of look at the Bible and think, oh, this is verbatim how this went or how this went down. He had his life here, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and then they died. And I'm like, no. There's a lot of time that passes. Some say there could have been anywhere from 15 to 20 years after what happened in Genesis chapter 22 that Sarah here goes on to be with the Lord. And Abraham, of course, goes through his time of mourning, and then the next job or the next issue is to bury Sarah. And so he goes to the sons of Heth, talking about this specific group of Canaanites. And he wants to buy the land where he had made that first altar a long, long time ago when he came into the land of Canaan the first time at God's leading. And he wants to buy that land and turn it into a place for him to bury his dead. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, "Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchers, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulcher, but that thou mayest bury thy dead." So Abraham goes to this particular group of people, and he says, "I would like to buy this parcel of land to bury my wife." And what happens here, a lot of people get very confused about. They read this and they're like, "Oh, these people of Heth were so nice." That is not what goes on here. In this day and time and cultural dealings, there was a specific way of bargaining, okay? And to give you a good example of that, I will tell you about a Southern goodbye, all right? I live in the South. I live in Arkansas. My wife grew up in Arkansas as well, but she grew up in Little Rock, which is a lot more like a place in the North than it is in the South, okay? And so when we moved to where I pastor now, she would talk about, "Okay, well, you know, when we go visit so-and-so, you know, we're going to try to keep it between this time frame and walk out the door." And I would always tell her, "Well, if you're wanting to leave at this time, we need to start saying goodbye at this time." And she thought I was absolutely insane, because I would say, you know, "If you're wanting to leave, or we need to be out of there by 7 o'clock, about 6:15, you need to start saying goodbye." And the reason for that is that in Southern culture, you will say goodbye, start to make your way to the door, and a conversation will start again. And you will say goodbye and start to get closer to the door, and a conversation will start again. And this will go on for about 30 to 45 minutes, and then everybody, "Okay, well, goodbye, it's time to see you," by the time you've reached the door, okay? And that's just how it works. Well, here in Abraham's day and time, bargaining and trade always started with a ceremonial process. And what that process is what you see here. What looks like the children of Heth are being, you know, kind-hearted individuals is actually just part of this ritual. They say, "Don't worry about it, Abraham. You don't have to buy it. You can have it and bury your wife there." And a lot of people are like, "Well, Abraham, he's just so arrogant. They offer to give it to him." No. In this day and time, it was an act, it was a gesture of kindness. It was a sign of respect. It was ceremonial, though. No one actually expected you to take this first offer, because any man worth his salt would buy something. He would do honest. He would not just accept a free gift, okay? So here what they do is they begin the bargaining process. Abraham asks to buy the land. They, "Oh, no, we'll give it to you." And Abraham answers back again. He says, "And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, 'If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you.'" Abraham shows this same respect back. He bows to them, showing humility and as a respective gesture to their gesture of kindness. And then he replies by saying, "Okay, if you honestly want to be of help to me, then I want you to ask this man what price that he would have for this land. I'll buy it at whatever it costs." Now, typically what would happen here is this gesture of kindness would be exchanged. These men would then do what's about to happen here. Look at what they say. It says, "And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, 'Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee. bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. So Abraham goes into the gate, which is where all of these political deals, things like that happen. The audience being the jury, the elders, the men that are there, they answer him and say, we'll give it to you. And Abraham shows the respect of bowing down and says, no, 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 I will buy it and treat Ephron. Well, Ephron is there in the audience. And so he stands up and he gives the same gesture again. No, you don't have to buy it from me. I will give it to you. I'll give you the cave and the field and you will go. This is all part of a business deal. Nobody expects anybody to take what is free. And so Abraham bows again, showing respect at the kind gesture, and says, I want exactly what you're offering. How much do you want for it? And this is where things kind of get even more odd, okay? As it says, I will give thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury, therefore, thy dead. Now, this is where things get odd. Because, or odder, I guess, because you're probably sitting here going, man, I mean, it really sounds like they're all trying to be nice to each other. It's not true. Even today, if you go over into that land, offer to buy something, oh, I'll give it to you. They don't expect you to do that. If you don't have the same culture as them and you say, oh, okay, well, I'll take it, then they, oh, well, hang on, I'm just kidding, okay? They have a very strange culture. They're trying to show kindness and respect, but at the same time, they're all very greedy individuals because this is what would happen. So you would address this main court group. They would, oh, we'll give it to you. No, I'll buy it. Then the guy who you're trying to buy it from would stand up, oh, don't worry, my lord, sir, this kind of thing. Being respectful again, being kind. I will just give it to you. No, no, tell me what the price is. And then this is where things kind of get, like they're like basically like they're lying to each other in the face. They would flippantly give an offer that typically was worth 2 to 3 times what the land was. This is part of a negotiation process. This is something you can still see in the land there today, in Jerusalem and in other marketplaces within those ancient areas of Israel and Iraq and Iran and Pakistan. This is something that even carries over into a lot of Asian cultures as well. So he comes back and he says, oh, you know, the land, it's only worth 400 shekels of silver, which is an inflated price. What's that between you and me? You can just have the land. Go and bury your dead. Again, trying to do this, we're being kind, we're being respectful, but at the same time, I'm making sure you know what I want for it. And usually what they wanted for it, it was not worth that. It was a lot more. And what would happen in most situations is that then they would begin to haggle and negotiate. And this, all of this ritualism, this fake kindness, fake respect, would begin to dwindle away. They would begin to start to get uglier with it. Like, well, I mean, you know, you got a big old patch of dead grass out there in the middle of that field. I'm going to have to fix that. So I'm going to give you this. They would start to get these very, very rough negotiations until they reached a deal. And a lot of people look at this and go, what in the world was the point then? Why did they do this? The same reason in the South we have a 45-minute goodbye. That's just what these people did. And so the way this story should go is that he offers this price and Abraham just kind of chuckles and goes, oh, my Lord, I'll pay you, but 400 shekels, I just don't know about that. Last time I was out there, I saw a black widow in that cave, okay? And it's just not going to happen. But Abraham does something that is completely out of character. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money, with the merchant. As soon as the price is given, Abraham turns to his man, has the money counted out in cash there in front of him, and gives it to him. And a lot of people look at this and they, well, what are you trying to say, Pastor Zach? Are you trying to say we can't negotiate for better prices? Are you trying to say we can't? No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? I believe in getting a good deal. I believe in trying to get the best deal you can. But the lesson of what we have to learn here is that when we do business or when we do anything in this world, when we are interacting with another human being, we must be respectful, we must be fair, and we must be willing to do the right thing even if somebody else isn't. Abraham could have walked away from this deal knowing that this was going to be way more expensive than what it was worth. But he wanted this for Sarah and for his family. This is where he had first built an altar when he came into the land. And not only that, but Abraham had been extravagantly blessed from God. And because he had been blessed from God, he shared that blessing with Ephron in giving him this generous amount of money for land that was not worth that. Instead of haggling, instead of acting like the mob, instead of lowering himself to the standards of the people he was doing business with, he instead decided to do right. When Lynn, my wife and I went to go buy a car for the first time, when we went in, I did not haggle at all with the guy that was selling the car because the deal was fair. When we went to buy our second car, I went back and I went, oh, no, 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 no. It ain't worth that. You're going to have to come down on that. Not saying you cannot try to make a deal with somebody. Not saying that you can't try to negotiate for better prices or anything like that, that you have to just take what is offered immediately. But what Abraham does is in this whole situation, he never is not respectful. He is never not fair, and he tries to be generous and kind in what he's doing. This is a principle that even applies to the Walmart cashier, okay? Or to a retail cashier. I will see God's people leave church, go out to eat at a restaurant, and be absolutely horrible, awful, rude to a waiter or to a cashier, or be over the top or think that they have some sort of, you know, they're there paying for this whopping $15 meal or whatever. There's this certain expectation that they have of how they're to be treated. Friends, we're not higher than anybody else. We're supposed to be kind, we're supposed to be fair, and we are supposed to show the love and the blessings of God to other people. Here, Abraham would have been within his legal rights to get rude, to get mean, and to haggle with this man. But instead, he chose to show God, paid the man what he asked, even though him and the man knew it was not worth that, and let God deal with the rest. Abraham does something here that many of us as God's people either fail to do or forget to do completely because we want to, quote-unquote, do what is within our legal rights. Friends, there are some things that may be lawful to you. It may be lawful to haggle. It may be lawful to do some shady things to lower your taxes. It may be lawful for you to find loopholes that where you're not breaking a law, you're just bending it till it screams. But that's not who God's people are supposed to be. We are supposed to be upstanding people, people who shock others with our actions and our behavior by not doing what the rest of the mob would do, but rather showing the love of God and generosity to others. He weighs this out before the merchant, says, and the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field that were in all the borders round about were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. The one and only piece of land in the entire promised land that Abraham bought and owned for a surety was the burial plot that he and his wife would be in death. He had enough faith in God that the only thing that he purchased was his burial ground so that no one could bother the body of his wife or himself. And he had enough faith in God that he was willing to pay extra to be a upstanding citizen instead of haggling and fighting and arguing with this man over a price. He had enough faith in God that even when Sarah died, he only did the time of his mourning and then got about his responsibilities, knowing that his wife was with God, and that while her companionship might be gone, she was still in a better place and that this was not their home. See, friends, to be able to be that kind of a citizen, to be someone who is fair, who shows love and compassion, and who shares the blessings God has given with them in the way they interact with other people, you have to have faith that God will take care of all those other things. So, as you're going about your week, I want you to try to do something. I told all of you, it was a very short chapter, but I want you to do something. Number one, this is going to sound so cliche, but treat others as you want to be treated. If you don't want somebody to be mean, rude, and unkind to you, then don't be that way to other people. Secondly, remember who your God is and what He has done for you. And finally, in all things in this life, be fair, even if that does not help you. One of the things that I talk to my kids about when I coach baseball, and the parents, is they all get, of course, very emotional during a game. And when there's a close call on a base, everybody on either side of the team will yell, whatever benefits them the most. And in one particular game we played, there were two calls that the parents on our team all got to hooping and hollering at the umpire. And I said, sit down and be quiet. What he called was correct. What he called hurt our team. It was not good for us to have that call, but it was what it was. That was fair. It was right. That is how we are supposed to be in all of our dealings. That's what it means to be fair. And that's a very, very hard thing for humans to do. But friends, if you truly have faith that God will take care of those things, during this week, you will treat others with love and respect. You will remember who your God is and that He is in control, and you will be fair to others in all things in this life, even if that doesn't benefit you. And as always, we do appreciate having you on here for Genesis chapter 23. That has been Studies Through the Bible with Pastor Zach Ebar. I hope all of you gained something from this little snippet. It's a very small chapter, but I think it's a small chapter that has a very long-reaching arm when it comes to how we behave and go about our life. If we ever anybody that was new on here listening today, I can't see you. Or see names or any of those things with the way I have stuff set up today. It's all the screen's too far away. But if there are anybody on here that is new, is glad to have you with us. All of our new listeners, we pray for you, love you. If you need anything, there's the comment bar and all of those things down there. You can get in touch with me that way, and I'll answer any of your questions, try to help you out best as I can. And for those that will be listening to the recording here on Monday, I hope all of you have an excellent week. Put these principles into practice this weekend for those that are live. Put them into practice during the week for those that are going to listen to the recording. Let your life be a light of who God is and who resides within your heart. And as always, all of you get out of here and go study.